gotta stay together. All I know, love save the day. Well, good evening, everybody in New York City. This is Kay with Bless the Next Generation. How's everybody doing tonight? I know you guys are driving home. Happy Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? It's happy hour. Well, anyway, we have an hour show tonight. Hopefully, it's going to encourage you, lift your spirit up. And you say, okay, what is this show all about? Well, it's all about inspiration. And I've been doing the show about 15 years. I was a high school French teacher and Montessori kindergarten teacher. And I'm a grandmother. And I am so concerned about you guys. Suicide is number one. Depression's number one with adults. We have 7,000 children dropping out of school every day. We have 20 million kids addicted to drugs. We have 120 soldiers committing suicide every week. We have 30 million children in poverty. We have one out of every two marriages ending in divorce. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do here? Well, I'm here to encourage you and inspire you and give you some good news tonight. And, you know, there's so much negative news. Oh my gosh, when you watch the news, we just get polluted with negativity. Well, this show is how to stay positive when everything is negative. And if you need to contact me, you can contact me at blessthenextgeneration@gmail.com. We welcome all your advice. If you need to come on the air, if you have a great testimony you want to share with the next generation, just come on the air with us. We love everybody. We welcome everyone. And tonight we're going to talk about the struggles of faith, because there are so many battles in life. What do we do? Oh, my gosh. When I was growing up, I guess I grew up like Cinderella, and my father was a great provider. I went to great Catholic schools, great education, and then I went on to school in Paris and London, and I just had this fabulous education, and I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 17, and God came into my life, and Jesus became my Lord and Savior. And I knew there was more to life than just having everything. And when I did that, I felt the Holy Spirit come on the inside of me. But I've been on a journey, and I've been on a quest to find out what life is all about. What are we doing on this planet? What are we doing here? Well, you know, man is trying body, soul, and spirit. And we're only going to talk about the spiritual side of man. So if you have a chemical imbalance, you need to call 911. We are not doctors here. We're teachers. And we're only dealing with the spiritual side of man, because we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And when we die, we don't take our body with us. We don't take our money with us. No possessions. All we take is our spirit and our soul. And we live forever and ever. And God has a plan. And God set this whole plan up. I'm not God. I didn't make up the rules. I didn't make up the plan. I've just discovered the plan. And God was gracious enough to me to give me revelation of the Holy Scriptures. And I happen to believe that those Scriptures are the inherent Word of God. And it is the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's just the beginning, and the Holy Spirit comes in your life, like in your heart. But the rest of it, it's up to you. And like before I got on the show tonight, I had no energy because I didn't eat anything. And I'm in a new city, and we're out here in Florida. And what I did, I stuffed my body full of healthy food, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, carrots, chicken, because healthy in, healthy out. Well, how do you get spiritual energy? It comes by faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing God's word. So tonight, hopefully, I can spark a little bit of faith into your life. What is faith? Faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It's a trust, a belief, a confidence, an optimism of hope. Now, even though I'm a grandmother and I've been doing this since I was 17, really at five, I knew there was more to life. I knew that there was a plan for our life, but I really didn't come to know the Lord till I was 17. And I have made tons and tons of mistakes. And my faith level is still growing. And even though I'm a teacher, I'm still a student. And I walk around with my notepad. I'm still learning every day. God is still teaching me and correcting me and humbling me and encouraging me and healing me and prospering me. And I have been through a lot of battles, and I always write down whatever I'm learning for the next generation, because I want you guys out there that are listening tonight, I don't want you to have to go through the battles that I've gone through. I'm putting it in a journal, and it's like a survival journal, survival mode, how to come into the Holy Spirit. And so anytime I go through a battle, it may take me months to get the victory, or sometimes years to discover what God is trying to teach me or uncover. And I try to put these golden nuggets down in a journal for you guys. And if you need to contact me, you need to contact me at blessthenextgeneration@gmail.com. Every Friday, we're going to be doing this show to encourage you guys, to inspire, to speak God's word into the darkness. Now, God's word is the light. When God spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light, that is the light. The words coming out of God's mouth are light. And I am trying to speak light into the darkness in your life. And you go, really, Kay? Really? Let me tell you something. Spiritual things sound foolish. Spiritual things are so hard for our natural minds to comprehend. The Bible says that our carnal mind wages war against the Spirit of God. But if you are really logical, you know there has to be a mastermind, because one cell in your body holds over 1,500 pieces of information about you, and everybody is special. God has created everybody in His image, and God does not make junk, okay? Now, you may have grown up in the garbage can, but God has a plan for your life, and everybody's special. There's not one person that's listening to me tonight that God does not adore. He adores you. He loves you. He loves you just as much as He loves me. Now, do we always feel loved? No. We don't always feel loved because we live in a fallen society, and the evil in the society and the darkness tries to put our candle out. Our candle is the light of God shining within us. Now, people are having a very hard time believing. And the book of Hebrews says that because of their unbelief, they could not enter into God's rest. Unbelief blocks the rest of God and the peace of God. What is unbelief? It's a lack of religious belief. It's the absence of faith. Disbelief. There's a lot of people that are listening to me tonight out in New York City. This show goes all over the world, that don't believe. And I can understand why you don't believe. And I've been doing this for so long that I've seen so many miracles and so many answers to prayer that I know the Word of God is real. And I know the Scriptures are real. And I know that God's got His angels. And I know that we are a spirit and we are in a spiritual world, living in a natural body. Now, most humans, if you can't see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, smell it, then you don't want anything to do with it. How does this affect our prosperity? How does it affect our peace? And how does it affect our whole well-being? Well, it's not going to do anything until you step out and start trying it. Try it, you like it. It gives you courage. And what is courage? The ability to do something that frightens somebody else. God gives you courage, which is strength in the face of pain or grief. It's bravery, valor, fearlessness, daring, audacity, grit, heroism, gallantry, and spunk. It's a devotion of the heart, the seat of the feelings. Courage. If we ever need courage, we need it now. People are filled with anxiety. I had anxiety 2 days ago. I had so much anxiety because I'm moving from South Florida to North Florida, and just the anxiety of a move. And even though I have a lot of faith, I was having severe anxiety. And I know what the scripture says. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, casting all your worries over to the Lord. We are not supposed to be worrying. And I was full of worry. And even though we can know the scripture in our mind, we still go through a battle of resting in the Lord, relaxing in God, and walking by faith. We are fighting the fight of faith. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says we fight the fight of faith. We pick up our shield of faith. And it also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? That means, it, just like Abraham did, Abraham in the book of Genesis called those things that were not out of the spirit into the natural. Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. He had no children, and he was promised a child. And he had to wait a long time before he saw that child. And God said to Abraham, see the stars up in the heavens? That's going to be as many children as you're going to have. And Abraham believed God. And when you believe God's word, it's accounted unto you as righteousness. Now, Abraham didn't get his son till he was 102 years old. And Sarah laughed. So the angel struck her up. She was silent for a while because it's so hard to imagine at 99 years old that you're going to have a child. They named the child Isaac, which means laughter, because God was testing Abraham's faith. And he waited till Abraham was so old that he could not do it in his own ability. And then God did it. And God will stretch your faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We have 12 fruits of the Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith, and what's the other one? Suffering. Long-suffering. That's the one I hate, because does God allow me to suffer? Yes, he does. It's a fruit of the Spirit, because suffering, the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. And sometimes the suffering of our flesh produces patience and kindness and helps us to grow in the Holy Spirit. And we need to have the Holy Spirit peace. We need to have the Holy Spirit joy. And we need to have the Holy Spirit love. Where does it come from? Well, Jesus said, if you humble yourself, if you don't humble yourself like a little child, you cannot enter into the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is where God wants his people to be, full of peace, full of joy, full of righteousness. It's his righteousness. How do we do it? We have to humble ourselves like a little child. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I have peace right now, but I did not have peace the day before yesterday when I was moving over here. And I was really seriously having anxiety because I didn't know exactly what area I was going to be moving into. And I have had a lot of things upside down. And God is growing my faith, because what my faith was last year, God wants my faith stronger this year, because there's a lot of battles going on and the world is changing and there's a lot of instability right now. And God wants my faith really strong. So he's constantly stretching my faith. And the fruit of faith is being grown, and he's going to continue to do that till I die. He's going to continue to grow patience in me. Patience. I can't stand patience. I'm so impatient. And so God really does a number on me with my patience level, because I just want everything yesterday. And the Bible says love is patient. Love is kind. And God wants us full of his love. There's a dying world out there that needs to feel God's love. They need to see God's light in his people. And it's very hard to shine God's love and light when you have a lot of anxieties. Okay? So how do you do this? Well, you have to make a mental decision that you're going to put God's word number one. If you could do the first two commandments, Jesus said, don't worry about the rest of them, because the first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can do those two commandments, you won't have to worry about the rest. Loving God with all your mind. Get your mind on the Lord. Get your mind off your worries, because if you're going to sit there and focus on all your problems, your faith is going to go out the door. Focus on God's promises. And number two, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love yourself, there's going to be no way to love your neighbor. So we're focusing tonight on this walk of faith. The faith, the confidence. The confidence. What is confidence? A feeling or belief that one can rely on somebody or something. It's a firm trust. It's a feeling certain about the truth. It's courage and boldness. We need courage and boldness today. We are facing giants. We are facing financial problems, health problems, mental problems, family problems, relationship problems, tax problems, county problems, government problems, national problems. What do? We need to get our confidence up. We need to pick up our shield of faith to extinguish all the fiery darts of the devil. The devil throws fiery negative darts into our heart. Words that people speak of fear and hate and things that people try to do to us. We have to pick up our shield of faith to extinguish those fiery darts. God will give you the faith. You've got to start off somewhere. Jesus said, if you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you know how tiny a mustard seed is, you could speak to your problems and they would go away. All you need is a mustard seed of faith. There's different levels of faith. Jesus said there's weak faith, there's shaky faith, there's mountain moving faith, there's the God kind of faith. There's all kind of faith. What level do you want to be at? Do you want to be at a level that you can just speak to your problems? And they go, well, that is available. It's available to you. And it comes by growing your faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. The more you hear God's word, the stronger you're going to be on the inside. The more you hear the negative words of the world out there, the more full of worry and anxiety you're going to be. What are you going to be full of today? Okay? What are you full of? Are you full of hatred? Are you full of murder? Are you full of unbelief? Are you full of doubt? Are you full of jealousy, lust? You don't have to be full of that. You can ask God to cleanse you, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to just take a second right now and just say a little prayer. Why don't we do this? Just say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my filthy sins. I ask you to come into my life and fill me with this love and this peace that Kay's talking about. I forgive everybody that's hurt me. I want to walk in your faith, in your love, in Jesus' name. Now, if you did that, the Holy Spirit comes on in your heart, and he is with you, and you're born again into God's family. And when you do that, when you die, that is your ticket in. There's no other way to the Father, but through the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Give it a try. We want to bring as many people to heaven with us as possible. It's a bumpy road down here on this earth, but you don't want to miss eternal life. Heavenly is bliss. This is our battleground down here. This is our battle to get to eternal life. And the Lord wants us to walk in this faith. He wants us to walk in the Holy Spirit. And be positive. What is positive? Consisting or characterized by the presence or possession of a feature or quality rather than the absence of it. Positivity means with no possibility of doubt. It means clear and definite, certain, indisputable, reliable, concrete, firm. It means tangible or real. Showing optimism and confidence, sure, convinced, showing pleasures showing pleasing progress, gain, improvement, favorable, good, greater than zero. And if you're negative tonight, like we all have attempted to be, that's below zero. So we're going to stay positive tonight. Do we have a caller on the line? We have a caller coming in. Is she on the line right now? Brandy?
Hey there.
Oh, my gosh. Brandy's on the phone. Wait till you guys meet Brandy. Brandy is one of my best friends, and we've known each other, I guess, I don't know how many years, Brandy?
Oh, probably over 25 years.
About 25 years. And God just crossed our path in just a cute way, and he just stuck us together, and we're just totally opposite. But Brandy has such a heart for you guys. And out of all my friends, she's one of the ones that really shines the brightest because she cares about the next generation, and she has so many great plans for you guys. And she just passed me up like a torch. But she's going to tell you all the wonderful things she's doing, and y'all are going to get goosebumps because she's just dynamite. And I'm just so glad God brought her into my life. We're talking tonight, Brandy, about faith and why God chose this faith life. I have no idea, but the battles of faith and how we can overcome our battles through faith. Brandy, why don't you share whatever God tells you to share?
Okay. I'm thinking back to the Apostle Paul who wrote, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and then we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." You know, faith is a choice. It's not an argument. It's a decision. It's not a debate. It's a commitment, but it comes from within your heart, and faith is hope. Faith is what we hope for every day through our faith, because we go through so many different struggles every single Amen. Day, and we're not really sure how to deal with those through our faith. And you know, for me personally, I've been through a lot of struggles in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but because of my faith, I've been able to deal firsthand with a lot of difficult times when I had so much doubt and so much untrust in the Lord for some of the things that were happening to me in my life. But what I realized in the end, it was that when I did regain my faith and went through my struggles with my faith, then it made things more fruitful for me in my life. So when I came back and looked at it that way, I knew, you know, I always say God took me around the mountain on 40 years, what should have taken me an 11-day trip.
All of us.
But all of us, I was supposed to go around that mountain because he was teaching me, he was humbling me, he was showing me as the more that I gained my faith and gained hope, the more he would become fruitful in my life with me. You know, it's kind of interesting when we look back at the super affluent who are attracted to faith, and they soon realize that, you know, they have wealth, they have social standing, they have personal power, but what is it doing to them? It's leaving a void in their life. And when you have money, then you can enjoy it, but what is left? And so sometimes, you know, God used to say, expect the unexpected. Well, when we do become fruitful and we do have the things, sometimes we struggle with keeping that faith. We want to, you know, it just releases, oh, thank you, God, I got everything I needed now. I don't need you anymore. And that's so far from the truth.
I know.
You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it. It comes from within. It comes from trusting the Lord, and it comes from learning how to trust the Lord.
And God does, if I can interject here, Brandy, God will bring us from faith to faith and glory to glory. And as soon as I think I've arrived at something, bam, some other thing happens. So we're constantly being challenged because God wants us to have very strong hearts, full of courage, full of faith in this shaky world that we're living in. And then we have to have faith for our own children and our grandchildren, and we got to have faith for you guys because we want you to be able to lean on this show to lift you up. We're leaning on the Lord, okay? You have somebody that loves you more than I do, okay? And that's your Heavenly Father. And as soon as you come into his family, you have an angel that's guarding over your life. And you can go grow as fast as you want, go as slow as you want because you have a free will and you don't even have to receive the Lord. And you can go to hell if you want to. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is to bring everybody into his glory. And there's not one person that's listening tonight that God does not adore. He adores you. We're trying to communicate God's love and light through this show, which is very hard because we are natural humans trying to communicate something very spiritual. So go ahead, Brandy. I didn't mean to.
And you have to kind of start searching your doubt to find the root of what is causing the doubt. You know, when we go through so many trials and tribulations like I have in my life, like you have, Kay, and like so many people listening to this radio tonight, we all have doubt, and that's in the flesh. That's a natural feeling. Oh, you need to go with that doubt, you know, but there's usually something at the core of the doubt, and most other doubts, they will from that. So if you can identify kind of the core problem, it will help narrow your spiritual searching and help you to get back on track. And how many times have I had to do that in my life? And I think you and I have talked many times how, you know, I was coming back into the Lord's light and gaining my hope, and then I'd go, okay, Lord, I'll give you 60% back. You know, I'll give you control over 60%, but this 40% down here, man, you have no idea what's going on down here. You know, but God is a gentleman, and he has a sense of humor, and he'll, like, say, okay, Brandy, you go right ahead, you know, and let me know how that's working for you. But we try to fix things on our own without the faith, and that's when usually things will, for me in my life, went more awry than ever.
Well, as soon as we think we've mastered something, that's when God humbles us. And that's why we need to keep ourselves very humble, because the Bible says if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you're going to get smashed. And I get smashed all the time. As soon as I think I've got mastered something, my pride starts going up. And it's better just to keep your own self humble than to have to be humbled by the Lord. And the mission of this show is to reach out to you guys, because I know you've got so many questions. I've had so many questions answered over all the years. The Lord has answered my questions as I sought and searched. I don't know all the answers. We're teachers here. Brandy's a speaker. But we are so concerned about you guys, and we want to hear from you. You can contact me at blessthenextgeneration@gmail.com. Brandy, tell them how to reach you.
You can reach me real easy at live. Speaker, L-I-V as in Victor, E-S-P-E-A-K-E-R at AOL.com. Or you can just Google me, Brandy Winans. It's the easiest. You'll find me on the internet everywhere, and you can find my books on Amazon, the recent one, The Flip Side of Glory. And I'm writing one right now, which really kind of appears right here on the subject matter of struggle, and it's called Unbreakable Strength. Because
wow.
We forget the amount of strength that we actually have within ourselves, and there's so much strength within us that a lot of times we're not utilizing that strength, you know, and we have so many unmet expectations, and sometimes we will doubt our religious Christianity or whatever faith that you believe in, and when we do that, we go off into the deep end, and then you have technology today, and we are multitasking more in this world more than
right.
ever. So with that struggling in the faith mode, we have to really start taking more discipline to have some quiet time in the morning or whatever works for you to have quiet time, peaceful time, to have that intimate personal relationship with the man upstairs, because that's when you get answers. That's when your thought process can just be released.
And the Holy Spirit can come and speak,
and
that
Holy Spirit,
still small voice.
I get goosebumps right now about it, because it's true.
It's true, and we need each other, like Brandy and I. If you're all alone out there, God didn't call any lone rangers. You're part of the body, and you need to get in fellowship. But Brandy, we have somebody else on the line that's holding, but I want you to just tell everybody one more time how to get in touch with you, because we're going to have to get this other call
okay.
here too.
Okay, you can reach me live. Speaker at AOL.com. You can Google me, Brandy Winans, B-R-A-N-D-I-W-I-N-A-N-S on the internet. and you will find me. And if anything that I can do to reach out to help anyone who is struggling with your faith or anything else, please, please feel free to contact me.
Yes, contact her. She's a great speaker. We love you, Brandy, and we'll see you next week, okay?
All right, honey.
Okay, bye. Ciao. Okay, we have another caller that's calling in, and I don't know if he's on the line right now. Gary, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Oh, praise the Lord, Gary. Now, we didn't know Gary was going to grace us with his company, but Gary, we've been talking about the struggles of faith, and Brandy just got off the line, and Socrates is going to be in here in a minute, but go ahead and share, introduce yourself, and tell everybody what you're doing over there.
Well, actually, what I'm doing over here is I'm in the process of writing an absolutely wonderful book, and what I'm trying to do, attempting to do, is that and my feeling has been, so there's a number of redundancies there, my feeling has always been is that everybody's very, very familiar with the Gospels, and all of the words are presented by Jesus Christ in the course of his days in mission. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build people's faith, because I feel that everybody does know the words, but they're not living by the faith. And in one of the sections of the book that I am writing is called Every Christian Has a Mission. And I'm going to repeat that once again, is that every Christian has a mission. And I don't believe that we as Christians realize that. When was the last time that you were out to win a soul? I know for sure that Kay is out there many times trying to win souls. I'm trying to win souls. It's our mission as Christians to try to win souls to Jesus Christ. That is our mission. And when was the last time that you gave to the needy person that you may have passed on the street? When was the last time that you comforted the sick? Or have you ever given the power of healing over somebody that you have, you believe this strongly in your heart? When was the last time that you'd help somebody that was very, very ill? Most of the time, what we end up doing is we go to church on Sundays, and then the rest of the week, we just do our thing, whatever our thing may be. Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to instill on everyone there that there is more to being a Christian than just going to church on Sundays or maybe going to a Bible school during the week. And you need to, at some point in your life, give your soul to God and make that attempt to do His work, and realize that as a Christian, you have that obligation. And what happens is things get a little bit twisted. I'll tell you why. We have a mission, and as I had mentioned, our mission is to win souls towards Jesus Christ. But then what we do is we have a tendency to do God's work, which doesn't make any sense if you really think about it. We're out there, and we're trying to control things that are not ours to control, that they belong to God, and let God control it. But we make the attempt to control the things that are God, but that our Father in heaven has the control of, and we try to do His work instead of doing what our work is as Christians. You know, we all out there, we're preaching the Bible, we know the Bible, what the Bible says, and again, we attend church on Sundays, and we do the things in the course of the week that we feel are proper, but it is our mission as a Christian to go out there and out there to win souls, and that's primarily what my book is all about. And as a baby, we're all baptized by water. We know that. But at the time that we're baptized with water, we really did not know anything. And now it's time that to be born again, and to be born again is to be born with fire, baptism by fire. And that fire means to be on fire for the Lord. It's not only just the baptism by fire, it's be on fire for the Lord. It means to reach the time in your life when you willfully put aside your own desires and do what God wills for you to do. And we very, very often, in the course of our lives, we don't do that.
Gary, if I may interject here, we need to do, people don't know how to get into God's will. And Jesus said, if you pray any prayer, pray the Our Father, because it's thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God wants to bring heaven into your soul and into your life. He wants everybody listening tonight. He wants us to try to encourage you guys to come to heaven to believe and have faith, because there's so much negative poison out in the world. And that's why Gary and I are doing this show, because there's so much dark, negative thoughts out there. Now, Gary, tell them how to get into God's will, and how did they get in? How do they do this? How to, you know, tell the people out there, if they want to get into God's will, what they need to do?
Well, I think that, you know, it's, sometimes it's difficult for somebody like yourself to ask me, well, what does somebody do, and make it sound like I'm an expert at this, and I'm certainly not an expert. But I think that how do we do God's will, and how do we develop our faith? Well, it's a circle. And what we need to do as Christians is we need to bear fruit. And we know that. We need to live in an environment where we're able to take the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we know what they are, and use that as a giving, the kindness, goodwill, all the wonderful things like love and peacefulness and joy. We're not doing that. We're holding it into ourselves, which is possible, or we're doing something else, but we're not giving it out. And it's our mission as Christians to give that out, to practice the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So what happens is that when you practice the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Holy Spirit, things begin to happen to you. You create this circle where the Lord starts giving back to you in the same measure that you give out. See, what we're doing, I believe that we're very, very stifled, and we're just sitting there. We're waiting. Okay, Lord, give me faith. Lord, I'm waiting here now. Let's get some faith. I need to have faith. Well, you know, I've talked about this in previous shows, and I'll just touch on very, very briefly, because they are part of the another portion of the book. But you know, I just briefly, when was the last time that you thought about the fact that we are designed as human beings in the perfect image of God, and that everything that's on this planet that was made by nature, by our Father in heaven, we're in perfect scale as human beings, not only as human beings in a physical nature, but also emotionally, we're able to cope with things that normally nobody else and no other creature on this earth is able to cope with. We're able to find a new normal. We're able to adapt physically. We're able to adapt emotionally. And spiritually, what we're trying to do is we're trying to adapt as best as we can. And so what we need to do is we need to think about this. Well, you know, supposedly we're designed perfectly. Well, if we think about some of the smaller creatures on the planet, and I love the one with the ant, because the ant is 20 times stronger than it carries a weight 20 times stronger than a normal creature would for its size and its weight. Now imagine that ant having the knowledge that we have, or all of these creatures that are domesticated animals, your dog, your cat, anything that you have out there that you have domesticated was smarter than you were. I mean, it would end up hiding the food from you instead of you hiding the food from the dog or the cat. And these are the kind of things that would actually go on. And
it's very true, Gary. And Gary, I don't know if Gary knows the scripture, but the Bible says, consider the ant, thou sluggard, that knows how to store up for the winter season. And you know, some of the ants are smarter than humans, because the ants are storing up their food. They're all working in order. If you watch the ants, They all working together like a little army, and they infiltrate, and they have their little food stored up, whereas a lot of Christians, a lot of humans, they don't work and store up stuff for the winter, for the hard times, and they don't work together in unity. So we have a big old divided army out there, and the evil takes over, because the Christians, they fight. Yeah, I don't believe this, I don't believe this. Well, you know what? Gary and I were saying yesterday, you can agree to disagree, but we're in the same army. We're on the same team. But the ants, they all stick together. If you watch them, they work together, and they build their little things. And we need to pay attention to some of these things in science, because God is teaching us through nature and through science, because a lot of times we as humans with our brains, we don't even understand. We can't even get it together like the creation does, you know, the ants.
And when we look at it, even the fruit on the tree, you know, just to get back to the scaling, because I've got about two or three chapters related just to scaling, is that there's not a tree that I could think of out there that bears fruit that we're not able to, as humans, even if we need a ladder, to pick the fruit from the tree. Now, what if God made these trees, instead of being, let's say, 15 feet tall, they were 100 feet tall? We would not be able to get any of the fruit from the tree, but we're in perfect scale to be able to pull the fruit from the tree. And that is just a very, very amazing thing among many other things, like, for instance, climbing a mountain. There are mountains out there. I believe the tallest one is somewhere in the area of about 26,000 feet. Yes, it's high, but we're able to scale it. We're able to swim underwater. We're able to swim above the water. These are blessings that our Lord in heaven has given us that sometimes we really just don't think about.
We don't pay attention. We don't pay attention. We focus on our problems, and we don't focus on our blessings and how good it really is.
And that's another weakness. I think that that is primarily the number one weakness that us human beings have, is that we focus on the things that that we want and don't have, but we don't think about all the things that we don't have and don't want. It's a simplistic statement, but if you really think about the truth of that is absolutely, absolutely tremendous. And I think that we overlook that. And I think that we're so into our egos, and I think that that is one of the things that I find to be very, very either interesting or perplexing, depending on your point of view, with regard to the fact that why is our ego so strong that we don't leave some of this important work up to God? Why do we feel like we need to be the ones to take control over this? Why don't we let go? Because that's one of the things that caused so much frustration. And that's and talking about frustration, I just want to, because I do have a tendency from time to time to jump around. Let's talk about fear. You know, the fear comes in so many forms for us human beings. We fear so much, and it's because of this fear, it's doing two things. First of all, it's putting us in a very, very unhappy state of mind, number one. And number two, if we really trust in the Lord, we shouldn't be fearing anything. We should realize that the Lord is going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what is going on. He's going to be there to take care of us. But we go and we let this fear grab hold of us, and it destroys our lives.
It's destructive, and it's absolutely the opposite of faith. And if you're in faith, which we all are growing in our faith, none of us have arrived. It's a fruit, and it's growing. But if you're either going to be in fear or faith. And Jesus said, His perfect love cast out fear. We need to meditate on love and get full of God's love so the fear can dissipate. Because that fear, Jesus said, the anxieties and the fears of life will strangle you. They will choke the word of God out of you. And sometimes you get so anxious and you, with stuff that's going on, it's like you're choking and you can't breathe. And you've got to let go. Jesus said, casting all your fears over to me because I
can't.
And
Jesus said, I'm sorry, Kay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to mention about the parable of the mustard seed and the fact that Jesus Christ says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds, and it grows into the largest of trees. Well, our hearts, our souls, our spirits are like that if we would just let it happen. Because the wonderful things that we should be practicing, the fruits of love, kindness, peacefulness, joy, the wonderful things that are part of the fruits of, that we can tend to, that we can grow with, we don't do that.
Now, why don't we do it, Gary? Why don't we do that and just interact?
I really believe that it comes down to our ego. We think that we have total control over things. We're not living in the Spirit of God. You know, and Jesus Christ, I believe, was very, very specific when he said that the Spirit of God is within you. And I think that, you know, sometimes... And I think that this is part of the problem is that with our limited knowledge as human beings, what we do is we when we think of God, we think of Charlton Heston with a big beard sitting on a couch that looks like a cloud, and that's our image of God. But God could be so much other things.
The Bible says God is love and God is light. And when you're full of love and full of God's light, you're going to be at peace. And Jesus also said, unless you humble yourself like a little child, you are not going to be entering into the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you want to get in the Holy Spirit? You need to humble yourself like a little child. And that's where we have the biggest problem, right, Gary?
that is the biggest problem, is that we're not humble enough. We're not humble enough to realize what our limitations are, and we're not humble enough to realize that, look, I can control so much, and the rest I have to leave up to my Father in heaven. And we don't do that. And I think that lack of humbleness, and what's amazing is that I don't think that the word humble, what I believe is that the word humble is used more, other than love, is used more in the Bible than any other terminology. We need to humble ourselves as children. We need to be as children. And we can't obtain, or we can't enter the kingdom of heaven until we act as children. Well, what does that mean? Well, children, and this is such incredible
wisdom. They're happy-go-lucky.
Well, yeah, happy-go-lucky. They trust in their mother. They trust in their father. And they don't worry about it. They know that their mom is going to take care of them. They know that their father is going to take care of them. Well, until we, as adults, or as adolescents, until we realize, look, we need to be like children, and we need to trust a higher power, just like these children do, we'll never find that happiness that we're looking for. And that happiness only comes when we reach a point in our lives when we start to give up some of the things that we're trying to control. And
control is our biggest battle when it fills you with anxiety. When you're trying to control something, you're actually carrying that burden around with you. It's so hard to just let that burden go. And Jesus said, I am the burden bearer. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light. So if you've got some heavy burden on you tonight, that's not from the Lord, because Jesus said, my burden is easy. God wants to carry. He's the burden bearer. He did not create us to walk around with these burdens. He put us in a garden, and we're supposed to. That's how he intended us to be. But for some reason, we live in a society, we carry all these burdens around, and that's why people are stressing out and having heart attacks. Right, Gary?
Yes, I believe that that's true, and I believe that, you know, the things that Kay says are 100% correct. Kay and I actually have been working together for about 4 years now, and the words that come out of Kay's mouth are really just 100% true. What we need to do is we need to take into consideration another thing. Let's just jump back to this ego thing and something very, very important. I went out and I bought a new automobile, and it was a beautiful automobile I bought this week. I rewarded myself. And the reason why I don't feel bad about rewarding myself is because I believe that I do a lot of things to help other people, and I believe that every now and then it's good to bless ourselves with something really nice. But this is where it becomes really catchy. This is where it becomes really tricky. You buy a car. Now, do you possess the car, or does the car possess you?
Amen.
All of your possessions out there, do you possess those possessions? Or do they possess you? And you need to make a decision and believe with the fact that don't let these possessions possess you. You need to know the difference there. And I believe that that causes a tremendous amount of anxiety, because we're out there and we're trying to fill our ego with the things that we feel that we deserve.
Let me tell you something. The higher... If it's high maintenance, then you're going to be, if you have a lot of high maintenance things, you're not going to have time to take care of yourself. Because we only have so much time during the day, right, Gary? How much time?
And we're not giving enough of that time during the day to do the things that our Father in heaven wants us to do. And I think that when I get back to in this particular chapter, that every Christian has a mission, is that we as Christians are just not doing our part. I have another thing that I wanted to kind of just throw at you that I'm working on. It's a new website, and you could just, when I explain it to you, it's almost unimaginable to attain without the help of Jesus Christ. And it's called The Assignment. The way The Assignment works is very, very simple. You pick two people in your life that really could use your help, and stay with them, stick with them. There's everybody out there knows two people, at least two people, that really could use your help. And as a Christian, and as every Christian that has a mission, what you need to do is find those two people that are going to come to you very, very easily because they're out there, and take care of those people. I have three or four people that I have pretty much taken under my wing that I help in good times and in bad times.
And Gary has been a very big blessing to me and to my family and to a lot of people. We just praise God for Gary's generosity. God has anointed Gary in the business arena, which is not my arena, in the financial arena, and he can talk about the laws of prosperity on another show. But Socrates, a dear friend of ours, a minister, a prophet, evangelist, just walked in the studio. How many minutes do we have left here? Okay, Gary, would you say hello to Socrates? Go ahead.
Hi, my brother. I love you.
And how are you, my brother? How are you doing?
Bless
today?
You, and thank you for your support from the ministry in Clearwater. I appreciate you very much.
Gary supports a lot of our ministries. And if let me tell you something. The people that pay the finances to support the ministry and God's word is just as important as the one with the mouthpiece doing the talking. And everybody's going to be rewarded in heaven accordingly to what they do down here. Go ahead, Socrates.
Gary, I just talked to Gary in Las Vegas, and he said he wants us to go there to pray from the people be heard. The 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, go to minister in Las Vegas, and at the same time pray from these people in the hospital. He's asked me specific to invite you there.
They're probably full of anxiety. We're talking tonight, Socrates, about the struggles of faith, because the listeners in New York, they're all driving home tonight. We're on happy hour in New York City tonight. And the people out there are struggling in their faith, Socrates. Can you give them a testimony of a miracle? God has used Socrates. Tell them about the miracle in your hands when you laid hands, when that man got a brand new heart. There was blood all over your hands.
God, I'm gonna interrupt very, very quickly because I'm going to leave the show.
Well, don't leave us. Okay. Don't leave us. Go ahead.
I want to tell you a little bit about Socrates. Socrates is a man that is an absolute true believer in Jesus Christ. And again, sometimes the people that don't believe, I want to tell you, you need to believe that the Catholic Church actually calls Socrates to different parts of our country and sometimes at different parts of the world to pray over the sick, pray over the people that are on the verge of death. And Socrates, with his hands, now Socrates does not do this, and he told me many times, Socrates doesn't do it. Jesus Christ does it.
Yes.
All Socrates is that he is the man that
he's
holds the faith in his hand, that is able to heal people with his hand.
With the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit
the Holy
power.
Spirit and through the power of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Socrates is just an absolutely amazing, amazing man, and one of the most wonderful people that that you could possibly be. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you real quick, and then I'm going to depart.
We have five minutes left.
Socrates showed me a Bible about 2 weeks ago. How old is that Bible, Socrates?
It's around 400 years old.
He's got this beautiful Bible that's about 400 years old that he's only shared with a few people. That's one of the most beautiful things that a man could attain. And saying that, I think that God bless Socrates. God bless Kay. You've only got about 5 minutes left. I talked enough.
Don't leave us, Gary. Don't leave. Just stay on the air because I want you to give your website out and everything. Go ahead, Socrates.
I want to thank everybody, and I want to release the healing anointing of God. If people, they are sick right now, from cancer, from any other illness, we take authority against any illness in the name of Jesus, any unclean spirits to go in Jesus' name. And we release the love
Amen.
Of God, the peace of God.
Yeah.
And we say, Lord, by your stripes, all of these beautiful people in there in New York and around the world, they be healed right now by your grace in Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name. Wow. I can feel the Holy Spirit. Goosebumps are all over me. Listen, you guys, you got to open your heart like a little child and receive. Go ahead, Socrates, tell him your miracles. He's had so many miracles.
The thing is, God can use anybody.
Well, tell him miracles that
yes,
God has used you
the
to
God
do.
The God came and visited me in my house and laid hands on me, and he's given me a ministry of healing with power and power. And he say, Socrates, go to all the world and heal the sick, but don't ask for money. Free I give to you, your free gift to them. And that's what I'm doing. But I want to thank a lot of people, our society, like Gary, and support the ministry. This is why, for me, I can go to travel in different parts of the world.
Tell them some specific miracles.
This specific thing
is... Well, we have 2 minutes left. Just tell them a miracle.
The specific thing is this lady, they bring it to me with the stretchers in California at the Newport, and he say they cannot find a heart to match her blood. And she's planned to die. And I go there, I lay my hand there, and I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give her a new heart from heaven. We have so many parts in heaven. And I feel the anointing came, and she's receiving your heart. And I told her, go to the doctor and check her out. God giving you your heart like 17 years old. And she's done that, and now a lot of people come in the ministry. And I see my shirt is full of blood. And I'm not done a surgery. I just asked the Lord to give you a new heart from heaven. And a lot of things happened. The Lord helped me to raise 11 people from death and 14 people from coma. And hundreds of people, different illness, and around 70 from cancer, and all honor and glory go to him. And I want to thank the Lord, and I want to thank everybody.
Well, we just love Socrates. He is an absolute treasure on the earth. There's not a lot of men like him. Socrates, how can people get in touch with you if they want you to come pray at their church?
I'm in downtown Clearwater, 627 Cleveland Street, and it's my studio.
They need to know your email address, how they can get in touch with you.
My name is Socrates. Charos@gmail.com.
Socrates Charos, Charos @gmail.com. Now, you guys need to email him if you want him to come and pray over you and support his ministry, because he's a very rare gift on the planet, okay? We need more people like this. Gary, are you still on the line?
Yes, and actually what I want to say is that please don't treat this lightly. Everyone that's on listening right now, when Kay goes and gives you an email address, or Socrates gives you an email address, don't get away from the station or walk away from the station not believing. It's really about time that you all started believing in something other than the things that you can accomplish. And there are people out there that can do miracles, and Socrates is blessed as one of them that through Jesus Christ is able to do it. So please, it's time that you have faith. It's time for faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, this whole show, we have 1 minute left. We're going to be on next Friday every day while y'all are driving home from your jobs in hectic New York City. We love you guys in New York. Gary, tell them what the show is going to be on next Friday. We have two more shows coming up on Friday from 5 to 6. What are the shows going to be on next week?
What I'm going to talk about next week is the randomness of our universe and how us as human beings, how we, the chances of us coming to be in the image of God, with so much randomness that exists in the universe, it is an absolute positive miracle if we look at ourselves and what's in our heart and our soul and our spirit. So this is not random, ladies and gentlemen. This is, we're not put together randomly. We are put together and we are sculptured.
Amen.
By the finger of God.
Okay, we have 1 minute. So that y'all don't want to miss that show next Friday night. It's going to be a hot new information that God's given to Gary. He's been studying and studying for the past 30 years. Socrates is available to minister. If you want to invite him to New York, invite him to your church. He has a lot of references, and you can contact him. Tell him again, Socrates, how they can contact you.
727-458-8569.
Okay, that's his phone number. We love you guys. Here's the songs coming on now. You got to be strong. You got to be tough. You got to be wise. You got to have Jesus. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, you guys. We want everybody coming to heaven with us. We love you. We'll see you next Friday. God bless you.